Almighty Yahweh, Heavenly Father, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace on this, your holy Sabbath day, thanking and praising your name, Father, for another opportunity to come together and give glory to your name. Father, we thank you for this Sabbath day, and we thank you for giving us a beautiful opportunity to worship you. Father, we know that the world is in a terrible state, and we know that the evil one is stirring up the people, Father, against you and against your people. So we ask, Father, that you would watch over us and protect us, and that you would open our hearts and minds that we would receive the implanted words that you prepared for us this day. Father, again, forgive us for our sins and sinful nature and shortcomings as we approach your throne, Father, asking for forgiveness. Bless those that have a petition before you on the prayer list. And, Father, touch each and every one of our hearts, because truly we want to be your people, and we want to overcome this sinful and dying world. Thank you again, Father, in the name of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. We do seek and come before you. Father, forgive us for the sins that we've committed before you, and we ask, Father, that you would heal us, and that you would guide us, and that you would teach us from your word. We thank you again for all that you've done for us in our life, health, and strength. In Yahshua's holy name we pray. Hallelujah. The Righteous Acts of Yahweh is the title of this message. Again, I said I changed from what I was going to do this week because I received some questions from some people concerning today being Judgment Day or the end of the world or the rapture. If you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 24, we'll start there. Matthew chapter 24, and we'll start in verse 1. And Yahshua went out from the temple and was going on his way, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And he answered and said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now, brethren, this was fulfilled in 70 the common era by the Romans. They destroyed the temple in Jerusalem in 70 the common era. So this was like relatively about 40 years after the Messiah said this, a generation, you might say, 40 years later. In verse 3, we read, "And as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, 'Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of your coming and the consummation of the age?' And Yahshua answered and said to them, 'Take heed that no man leads you astray, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Messiah, and shall lead many astray.'" I don't know about you, but I don't believe Camping's followers use Yahshua's name. I don't believe that they teach in Yahshua's name. Matter of fact, I think they teach in the pagan name. In verse 6 it says, "And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines, and earthquakes in various places. But all these things are the beginning of travail." And we've had famines and earthquakes. But it says, "This shall be the beginning of travail. Then shall they deliver you up to tribulation." Here is where it starts. "They shall deliver you up to tribulation and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." So in the name of Yahshua, we're going to be hated. "And then shall many stumble and shall deliver up one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise and shall lead many astray. And because lawlessness shall be multiplied, the love of the many shall grow cold. So this has got to happen. These things have got to come to pass before the end. But he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. And these good tidings of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a testimony to all the nations, and then shall the end come. Now, we know for a fact that this hasn't happened yet. I mean, it's going out. Teaching is being done, but it hasn't gone out to the whole world. And these good tidings of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a testimony to all the nations, and then shall the end come. When, therefore, you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let him that reads understand. Now, we don't see anything being set up in the kingdom at the temple, because the temple is not rebuilt at this point. Okay? But there has to be the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place. So that holy place is not there yet. Right now, the Temple Mount has the two Islamic sites. There is no Jewish temple. Let him that reads understand. Then let them that are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let him that is on the housetop not go down to take out the things that are in his house, and let him that is in the field not return back to take his cloak. But woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. And pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath, for then shall be great tribulation, such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now, no, nor ever shall be. Has the great tribulation started, brethren? No, it hasn't. And except those days be shortened, except those days had been shortened, no flesh would have been saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man say to you, lo, here is the Messiah, or here, believe it not. For there shall arise false messiahs and false prophets. And that's what these are, as well as camping. He did predict, as I read earlier, in the announcements, that in 1994 that this would happen. Now it's today. And shall show great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told you beforehand. If therefore they shall say to you, behold, he is in the wilderness, go not forth. Behold, he is in the inner chambers, believe it not. For as lightning comes forth from the east and is seen even to the west, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. And that's the saying, but that's true. The birds of prey are there where the carcasses are. Okay? Something to think about. It says here in verse 24, for there shall arise false messiahs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, so as to lead, if possible, even the elect. If possible, even the elect. So it's not possible to pull the elect. And some of those great signs, or one of those great signs, is going to be from Revelation chapter 13. Turn to Revelation 13. We'll start in verse we'll just read, starting verse 1. It says, "And he stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads, and on his horns 10 diadems, and upon his head the names of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet was as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power." We know the dragon is Satan, the devil. "And his throne in great authority. And I saw one of his heads as though it had been struck to death. And his death stroke was healed. And the whole earth wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, because he gave his authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, 'Who is like the beast? And who is able to war with him?' And there was given to him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And there was given to him authority to continue 42 months, that's the 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth for blasphemies against Yahweh, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, even them that dwell in the heaven. And it was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And there was given to him authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation. And all that dwell on the earth shall worship him, everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb that has been killed. If any man has an ear, let him hear. If any man is for captivity, in the captivity he goes. If any man shall kill with the sword, he must be killed. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints." So we have to be prepared, brethren, because we see here that this beast system has to be enacted before the end comes. In verse 11, "And I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. And he exercised the authority of the first beast in his sight, and he makes the earth and them that dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose death stroke was healed. And he does great signs, that he should even make fire come down out of heaven upon the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives them that dwell on the earth by reason of the signs which was given to him to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast." And we're told in the commandments, in the scriptures, that we're not supposed to make any image. We're not supposed to make any image to worship. They had to make an image to the beast who has the stroke of the sword and lived. And it was given to him to give breath to it, even to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as should not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So this is where the righteous are going to be martyred. And he causes all the small and the great and the rich and the poor and the free and the bond, that there be given to them a mark on their right hand and on their forehead, that no man should be able to buy or sell except he that has the mark, even the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. He that has understanding, let him count the number of the beast, for it is the number of man, and the number is 666. Turn to Daniel chapter 11. Daniel 11, and we'll start in verse 20. Daniel 11:20. "Then shall stand up in his place one that shall cause an exactor to pass through the glory of the kingdom. But within few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle. And in his place shall stand up a contemptible person to whom they had not given the honor of the kingdom. But he shall come in a time of security, and shall obtain the kingdom by flatteries. And the overwhelming forces shall be overwhelmed from before him and shall be broken, yes, also the prince of the covenant. And after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully, for he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people. In time of security shall he come even upon the fattest places of the province. And he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his fathers' fathers. He shall scatter among them prey and plunder and substance. Yes, he shall devise his devices against strongholds, even for a time. And he shall stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south with a great army, and the king of the south shall war in battle with a very great and mighty army, but he shall not stand, for they shall devise devices against him. Yes, they that eat of his dainties shall destroy him, and his army shall overflow, and many shall fall down slain. And as for both of these kings, their heart shall be to do mischief, and they shall speak lies at one table, but it shall not prosper, for yet the end shall be at the time appointed. Now we know from the past that the king of the south was the one, was Egypt, okay? And what happened was that the Greek king, Alexander the Great, came and ruled, took over the known world. He defeated the Persians, who Daniel had went into Babylon, and then Babylon was taken over by the Persians, and he was still there as a emissary for Persia. But during the time, the Greeks came and actually took the kingdom. They defeated the Persians. And the Greek army, then after Alexander's demise, because he died a very young man, this happened when he was very young, his army was split into four, among four generals. And one took control of Egypt in the south. The other had control of the Holy Land. That was Antiochus Epiphanes. One had the Asia, or where Greece was, and the other was to the other part of the east, the far east, you might say. So when it talks about these kings, the north, the south, the east, the ones that of the Holy Land, it's breaking down these four different armies or groups, and two of them did join forces. But the Ptolemies did control Egypt, and it's going to talk about them as well as Antiochus Epiphanes. So that's why you have to put things in perspective here, because not only is it dealing with history in the past, it's also dealing with the prophecy of the future, because we're going to have the same thing that happened with Antiochus Epiphanes, who entered into the holy place and offered a pig. He desecrated the holy place, the temple of Jerusalem. And this is going to happen again in the future. Okay? In verse 28 of Daniel 11, then shall he return into his land with great substance, and his heart shall be against the holy covenant, and he shall do his pleasure and return to his own land. At the time appointed, he shall return and come into the south, but it shall not be in the latter time as it was in the former, for the ships of Kittim shall come against him. And we know Kittim is China, the kings of the east. Therefore he shall be grieved and shall return and have indignation against the holy covenant and shall do his pleasure. He shall even return and have regard to them that forsake the holy covenant, and forces shall stand on his part, and they shall profane the sanctuary, even the fortress, and shall take away the continual burnt offering, and they shall set up the abomination that makes desolate, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he pervert by flatteries. But the people that know their Elohim shall be strong and do exploits. And this has to be us, brethren, those that know their Elohim, because Yahweh is the living El. He's the only true mighty one. The other one that they worship is Satan the devil. We understand that. And they that are wise among the people shall instruct many, yet they shall fall by the sword and by flame and by captivity and by plunder many days. And this corresponds with what it said in Revelation chapter 13. Now when they shall fall, they shall be helped with a little help, but many shall join themselves to them with flatteries, and some of them that are wise shall fall to refine them and to purify and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for the time appointed. So there is a particular purpose. So there are going to be people who are added to our number who are not sincere, who are there just to, you know, through flatteries, try to destroy Yahweh's people. Verse 36, and the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every El. And who's doing that? Was that not Satan the devil that did the same thing? And shall speak marvelous things against the El of Elohim. And he shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that which is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the Elohim of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any Eloah. For he shall magnify himself above all. And that's what Antiochus Epiphanes did, and that's what the abomination that makes desolate, the beast, is going to do, the man of sin. But in his place shall he honor the Eloah of fortresses and an Eloah whom his fathers knew not. Shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things, and he shall deal with the strongest fortresses by the help of a foreign Eloah. Whoever acknowledges him, and this is the beast system, he will increase with glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many and shall divide the land for a price. And you hear that being discussed today about how Israel is being going to be divided. Now, this is all prophesied, brethren. This is not something that is, you know, new. This is something that we can see from of old. Okay? Revelation chapter 11. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 11. We'll start in verse 1. Revelation 11, 1. And there was given to me a reed like a rod, and one said, rise and measure the temple of Elohim, and the altar, and them that worship in it, and the court which is outside the temple, leave out, and measure it not, for it has been given to the nations. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. There's that 3.5 years again. And I will give to my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the Elohim of the earth. And if any man desires to hurt them, fire proceeds out of their mouth and devours their enemies. And if any man shall desire to hurt them, in this manner must he be killed. These have the power to shut the heavens, that it rain not during the days of their prophecy. And they have power over the waters to turn them into blood, just like Moses did in Egypt, and to strike the earth with every plague as often as they shall desire. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that comes up out of the abyss shall make war with them and overcome them and kill them, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also the master was impaled. and we know this to be Jerusalem. And from among the peoples and the tribes and tongues and nations do men look upon their dead bodies 3.5 days, just like the 3.5 years. This is like 1%, okay? The 3.5 days is a type. And do not allow their dead bodies to be laid in a tomb. And they that dwell on the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and they shall send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented them or judged them that dwell on the earth. And after 3.5 days, the breath of life from Yahweh entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell on them that saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. And they went up into heaven in the cloud, and their enemies saw them. And in that hour there was a great earthquake, and the 10th part of the city fell, and there were killed in the earthquake 7,000 persons, and the rest were terrified and gave glory to the Elohim of heaven. The second woe is past. Watch, and the third woe comes quickly. And the seventh angel sounded, and there followed great voices in heaven. And they said, the kingdom of the world is become the kingdom of our Yahweh and of his Messiah, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sit before Yahweh on their thrones fell upon their faces and worshiped Yahweh, saying, we give thanks, O Yahweh El Shaddai, who is and who was, because you have taken your great power and did reign. And the nations were angry, and your wrath came, and the time of the dead to be judged, and the time to give their reward to your servant the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear your name, and the small and the great, and destroy them that destroy the earth. Matthew 24. Go back to Matthew 24. Verse 29, it says, but immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send forth his angels with the sound of the great trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. This is after the tribulation, not before, but after, so that rapture nonsense is just that, nonsense. There is no rapture, brethren. Yahweh's people will be hidden during the tribulation. Zephaniah chapter 2. Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 3. Seek Yahweh, all you meek of the earth, that have kept his ordinances, his commandments. Seek righteousness. Seek meekness. It may be you will be hid in the day of Yahweh's anger. And yes, during that 3.5 years, Yahweh's people will be hidden, those that are faithful. Now, some are going to be martyred because, you know, they're going to be the two witnesses, mainly out in the forefront, but there are going to be some others that will be martyred. But the key is that the righteous acts of Yahweh are going to be manifested, and people will be able to make a distinction and see the difference, okay? Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 8. Therefore, wait for me, says Yahweh, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them my indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. So Yahweh is going to destroy by fire. For then will I change the peoples of pure language, that they may call upon the name of Yahweh to serve him with one consent. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my suppliants, even the daughters of my dispersed, shall bring my offering. In that day shall you not be put to shame for all your doings in which you have transgressed against me. For then I will take away out of the middle of you your proudly exalting ones, and you shall no more be haughty in my holy mountain. But I will leave in the middle of you an afflicted and poor people, and they shall take refuge in the name of Yahweh. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. Yahweh has taken away your judgments. He has cast out your enemy. The king of Israel, even Yahweh, is in the middle of you. You shall not fear evil anymore. In that day it shall be said in Jerusalem, fear not, O Zion. Let not your hands be slack. Yahweh your Elohim is in the middle of you, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will rest in his love, he will rejoice over you with singing. I will gather them that sorrow for the solemn assembly who were of you, to whom the burden upon her was a reproach. Behold, at that time, I will deal with all them that afflict you, and I will save that which is lame, and gather that which was driven away, and I will make them a praise and a name whose shame has been in all the earth. At that time will I bring you in, and at that time will I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all the peoples of the earth when I bring back your captivity before your eyes, says Yahweh. Micah chapter 6, we'll start in verse 1. Hear now what Yahweh says, arise, contend before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. So we're going to contend before the governments of this world, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, O you mountains, Yahweh's controversy, and your enduring foundations of the earth, for Yahweh has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? And in what have I wearied you? Testify against me, for I have brought you up out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage. And I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, devised and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him, remembering from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the righteous acts of Yahweh. Now, what happens? Balak went to Balaam and asked him to curse Israel. And Balaam says, how can I curse him who Yahweh has blessed? He couldn't curse him. He said they would have to curse themselves. And that's when Baal Peor came about. They cursed themselves by participating in this vile sex practice. And that's how Yahweh, you know, was able, I mean, that's how Satan was able to, And Balak was able to overthrow Israel at that time. But Yahweh judged Israel. He judged them. And they died. I think it was 23,000 in Baal Peor. Until Phinehas came up with the spear and went through the prince of Israel and the concubine that he was with. See, that's where I got the title of this message, The Righteous Acts of Yahweh, from this passage. Remember from Shittim to Gilgal that you may know the righteous acts of Yahweh. Yahweh wants his people to be righteous, to keep all of his covenant. And if we do that, we don't have to worry about this peace system. We don't have to worry about the tribulation. We don't even have to worry about the judgment that's coming upon this earth. See, and it doesn't matter when it comes. It's not going to be today, as the false prophet Camping says, but we know that Yahweh's preparing a people. He's given us the instruction and the knowledge as to know when these things are going to come to pass. We don't have to know the day or the hour. We're going to be prepared if we keep the covenant, and that's what it's about, keeping Yahweh's covenant. In verse 6, it says, with what shall I come before Yahweh and bow myself before the high Elohim? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with a calf a year old? Will Yahweh be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? No. He has showed you, O man, what is good and what does Yahweh require of you but to do justly. And justice is keeping Yahweh's commandments, to love kindness, to be kind to our fellow man, and to walk humbly with our Elohim. And how can we do that without keeping the covenant? We have to keep the covenant to do that. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12-22. And now, Israel, what does Yahweh, your Elohim, require of you but to fear, and that fear is respect, Yahweh, your Elohim, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve Yahweh, your Elohim, with all your heart and with all your soul, to keep the commandments of Yahweh and his statutes. And this is what Yahweh wants of us. He doesn't desire a bunch of different things, like he says, the sacrifices. He sacrificed his son, and as long as we accept Yahshua as our sacrifice, we're there. But we have to keep the covenant to prove that we're there. It says to keep, in verse 13, the commandments of Yahweh and his statutes, which I command you this day for your good. And that's what they are, for our good, brethren. Behold, to Yahweh your Elohim belongs the heaven and the heaven of heavens, the earth, with all that is in it. Yet Yahweh had a delight in your fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all peoples, as at this day. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. For Yahweh your Elohim, he is El of Elohim, and sovereign of rulers, the great El, the mighty and the terrible, who regards not persons, nor takes reward. He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow. And when you see that and love the sojourner, he's talking about the third tithe, brethren. The fatherless and the widow and love the sojourner. These are three of the four parts of the third tithe. And giving him food and raiment. Therefore, love the sojourner, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. You shall fear Yahweh your Elohim, him you shall serve, and to him you shall hold fast, and by his name shall you swear. He is your praise, and he is your Elohim, that he has done for you these great and terrible things, which your eyes have seen. Your fathers went down into Egypt 70 persons, and now Yahweh your Elohim has made you as the stars of heaven for multitude. That's awesome, brethren. But Yahweh is telling us we have to hold fast to him, and by his name shall we know for a fact that we are Yahweh's people because we are keeping his covenant. We are doing the things that he commands of us. Therefore, he's going to reveal to us his word, and Deuteronomy 11, verse 8. Deuteronomy 11, 8. It says, therefore shall you keep every commandment which I command you this day, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land which you go over to possess. And for us, that's the kingdom of Yahweh. For them, when this was written, it was the promised land. And this is the land of Israel. This is the land that we talked about earlier, that Haggai read the passage that was ordained by Yahweh. It was not something that was done in 1948. This was done 3,500 years ago by Yahweh. And that you may prolong, in verse 9, your days in the land which Yahweh swore to your fathers to give them and to their seed, a land flowing with milk and honey. For the land which you go in to possess is not as the land of Egypt from where you came out, where you sowed your seed and watered it with your foot, as a garden of herbs. But the land where you go over to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinks water of the rain of heaven, a land which Yahweh, your Elohim, cares for. The eyes of Yahweh, your Elohim, are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even to the end of the year. So it doesn't matter what the governments of the world decide. Yahweh is the one that is concerned and rules over the Holy Land. And it shall come to pass, if you shall listen diligently to my commandments, which I command you this day, to love Yahweh your Elohim, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give the rain of your land in its season, the early rain, the Moreh, and the latter rain, the Malkush, that you may gather in your grain and your new wine and your oil. And I will give grass in your fields for your cattle, and you shall eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, lest your heart becomes deceived, and you turn aside and serve other Elohim and worship them. And that's what Satan wants you to do, brethren. He wants you to worship the beast so that you will not receive a blessing. And the anger of Yahweh is kindled against you, and he shuts up the heavens so that there shall be no rain, and the land shall not yield its fruit, and you perish quickly off the good land which Yahweh gives you. Now this is going to be no rain for 3.5 years, as it says here. When they worship these pagan mighty ones, there's no rain. It happened during the days of Ahab.
Eliyahu.
During the tribulation, 3.5 years. We read that in Revelation 11. Some of Yahweh's elect will be martyred for Yahshua's name. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of Yahweh. For I determined not to know anything among you save Yahshua the Messiah and him impaled. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And that's what we have to do these days, in these last days, brethren, a spirit of demonstration and of power. Because Yahweh's Holy Spirit is going to make the difference between this worship, this ministry, and the rest of the world. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of Yahweh. We speak wisdom, however, among them that are full grown, yet a wisdom not of this world, nor of the rulers of this world, who are coming to nothing, brethren. But we speak Yahweh's wisdom in a mystery, even the wisdom that has been hidden, which Yahweh foreordained before the worlds to our glory, which none of the rulers of this world have known. For had they known it, they would not have impaled the sovereign of glory. But as it is written, things which eye saw not, and ear heard not, and which entered not into the heart of man, whatever things Yahweh prepared for them that love him. And he has prepared the kingdom of Yahweh for those that love him. They're going to overcome this world and the tribulation, which is soon coming upon this earth. In verse 10, it says, but to us, Yahweh revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of Yahweh. For who among men knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man, which is in him? Even so, none know the things of Yahweh except the Spirit of Yahweh. But many people say they have the Spirit of Yahweh and His Holy Spirit, but their actions don't follow. So if you think, because I heard Camping's interview about the Holy Spirit and these things being revealed to him through the Holy Spirit, but do they keep the Sabbath? No. Are they keeping the feast days? No. Are they keeping Yahweh's commandments, the righteous acts of Yahweh? No. Verse 12, but we receive not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is from Yahweh, that we might know the things that were freely given to us of Yahweh. And that's what the Holy Spirit is going to reveal, the things that were freely given to his people, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Spirit teaches, combining spiritual things with spiritual words. Now the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of Yahweh, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot know them, because they are spiritually judged. But he that is spiritual judges all things, and he himself is judged of no man. For who has known the mind of Yahweh, but that he should instruct him? But we have the mind of the Messiah. And if we have the mind of the Messiah, brethren, we understand the spiritual things. Daniel chapter 12. Daniel 12, we'll start in verse 1. And at that time shall Michael, the word Michael, who is like El, and who is like Yahweh, Yahshua the Messiah. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince who stands over the children of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that are wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they shall turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But you, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And that's what's happening, brethren. Knowledge is being increased to those that love Yahweh. But those that don't love Yahweh, they're not going to hear the word of Yahweh. They're going to run to and fro seeking the word of Yahweh, but they're not going to be able to find it unless they're willing to repent. Then I, Daniel, looked and behold, there stood other two, the one on the brink of the river on this side and the other on the brink of the river on that side. And one said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and swore by him that lives forever, that it should be for a time and times and a half. And when they have made an end of breaking in pieces the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. That's 3.5 years. Time and times. That's two. That's and a half. So that's 3.5 years. And all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my superior, what shall be the issue of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed till the time of the end. And that's what we're talking about, brethren, the time of the end. The righteous acts of Yahweh will be manifested in the times of the end. In verse 10, many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but they that are wise shall understand. And from the time that the continual burnt offering shall be taken away, and the abomination that makes desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waits and comes to the 1,335 days. But go your way till the end, B, for you shall rest and shall stand in your lot at the end of these days.
Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4.
One. It says, after these things I saw, and behold, a door opened in heaven, and the first voice that I heard, a voice as of a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you the things which must come to pass after this. We heard that come up here before, and that's when the two witnesses were called up. That's that high calling. Come up here, and I will show you the things which must come to pass after this. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, there was a throne set in heaven, and one sitting upon the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper stone and sardis, and there was a rainbow all about the throne like an emerald to look upon. And all around the throne were 24 thrones. Upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting arrayed in white garments, and on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and voices and thunders. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of Elohim. And before the throne, as it were, a sea of glass, like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and all around the throne, four living creatures, full of eyes, before and behind. And the first creature was like a lion, and the second was like a calf. And the third had the face of a man, and the fourth was like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, having each one of them six wings, and full of eyes all around within, and they have no rest day and night, saying, holy, holy, holy is Yahweh El Shaddai, who was and who is and who is to come. And when the living creatures shall give glory and honor and thanks to him that sits on the throne and to him that lives forever and ever, the 24 elders shall fall down before him that sits on the throne and shall worship him that lives forever and ever, and shall cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, our King and our Elohim, to receive the glory and honor and the power, for you did create all things, and because of your will, they were and were created. We're going to continue. And Revelation chapter 5. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written inside and on the back, closed sealed to the seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a great voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals of it? And no one in the heaven or on the earth, or under the earth, was able to open the book or to look upon it. And I wept much because there was no one found worthy to open the book or to look on it. And one of the elders says to me, weep not. Behold, the lion that is of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome to open the book and the seven seals of it. And I saw in the middle of the throne, and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, a lamb standing as though it had been killed, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of Yahweh, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and he takes it out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And he had taken the book. The four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having each one a harp and a golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the book and to open the seals of it, for you were killed and did purchase to Yahweh with your blood of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and made them to be to our Elohim a kingdom of priests, and they reign upon the earth. And I saw and I heard a voice of many angels all around the throne, and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a great voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that has been killed to receive the power and the riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.' And every created thing that is in heaven, in the heaven and on the earth, and under the earth and on the sea, and all things that are in them, I heard saying, 'To him that sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and the honor and the glory and the dominion to the ages of ages.' And the four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down and worshiped." These 24 elders and these holy creatures are worshiping Yahweh continually. The righteous acts of Yahweh, brethren, are manifested so that we would know and understand the kingdom of Yahweh is soon coming upon this earth. Turn over to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation 7, and we'll start in verse 1. "After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that no wind should blow on the earth and on the sea and upon any tree. And I saw another angel ascend from the sun rising, having the seal of the living Elohim. And he cried with a great voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, 'Do not hurt the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, until we have sealed the servants of our Elohim on their foreheads.' And I heard the number of them that were sealed, 144,000, sealed out of every tribe of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah was sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Reuben 12,000, of the tribe of Gad 12,000, of the tribe of Asher 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi, 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000. And of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000. After these things, I saw and behold a great multitude, which no man could number, out of every nation, of all the tribes of the people of the tongue, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, arrayed in white robes and palms in their hands. And they cry with a great voice, saying, 'Salvation to our Elohim who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.' And all the angels were standing all around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell before the throne and on their faces and worshiped Yahweh, saying, 'Amen. Blessings and the glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our Elohim forever and ever.' And one of the elders answered, saying to me, 'These that are arrayed in the white robes, who are they and where are they from?' And I said to him, 'My master, you know.' And he said to me, 'These are they that are come out of the great tribulation, and they washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of Yahweh, and they serve him day and night in the temple. And he that sits on the throne shall spread his tabernacle over them, and they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun strike upon them, nor any heat. For the Lamb that is in the middle of the throne shall be their shepherd, and shall guide them to the fountains of waters of life, and Yahweh shall wipe away every tear from their eye. You see there's a separation here, brethren. You see the 144,000, and then you see the great multitude that comes out who made their robes white in the blood of the Lamb through the tribulation. These are those that died during that period of time that made Yahshua their Lamb. Our closing passage, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah 26. We're going to start in verse 1. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will he appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open the gates that the righteous nation which keeps faith may enter in. See, the righteous acts of Yahweh are manifested through his righteous nation, his people who are keeping his covenant law. Because he has done righteous things for us. Yahweh has been there for us. We're going to do our best to be there for him. We're going to keep the faith. And we're going to be able to enter in. It says, open the gates that the righteous nation which keeps faith may enter in. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. We have the mind of the Messiah, Yahshua. So we are like him in that we keep Yahweh constantly in the forefront of our mind. Because he trusts in you. Trust in Yahweh forever, for in Yahweh is an everlasting rock. For he has brought down them that dwell on high, the lofty city. He lays it low. He lays it low even to the ground. He brings it even to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness. You that are upright, direct the path of the just. Yes, in the way of your judgments, O Yahweh, we have waited for you. To your name, even to your memorial name, is the desire of our soul. With my soul have I desired you in the night. Yes, with my spirit within me will I seek you earnestly. For when your judgments are in the earth, Almighty Yahweh, when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. See, they learn the righteous acts of Yahweh because of his judgments. Now, Camping says today would be the day of judgment, May 21st. I'm not going to say that no judgment will fall, but I'm telling you it's not going to be a rapture. And it's not going to be the end of the world, which they are proclaiming. Verse 10, let favor be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal wrongfully and will not behold the majesty of Yahweh. They don't want to give Yahweh the glory and the credit for his righteous acts, brethren. They want to take that on themselves, and that's them emulating Satan the devil, who wants to rise above, as well as the man of sin. They want to be above Yahweh, but they can't, and they won't. Verse 11, Yahweh, your hand is lifted up, yet they see not, but they shall see your zeal for the people, and be put to shame. Yes, fire shall devour your adversaries. They're going to be destroyed with fire. Yahweh, you will ordain peace for us, for you have also worked all our works for us. O Yahweh, our Elohim, other rulers besides you have had dominion over us, but by you only will we make mention of your name. They are dead. They shall not live. They are deceased. They shall not rise. Therefore have you visited and destroyed them and made all remembrance of them to perish. You have increased the nation, O Yahweh. You have increased the nation. You are glorified. You have enlarged all the borders of the land. That's Israel. All the borders of the land. Remember, Israel, when they went in and took possession of the Holy Land, they never occupied all the way to the river Euphrates, which is over in what used to be Babylon. Okay? And that's modern-day Iraq. Yahweh, in trouble, have they visited you? They have poured out a prayer when your chastening was upon them, and that's what's going to happen. They're going to pray earnestly because of the judgment that's coming upon this earth. But you know what? Yahweh's not going to hear them. Like as a woman with child, that draws near the time of her delivery, is in pain and cries out in her pangs, so have we been before you, O Yahweh. We have been with child. We have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not worked any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Your dead shall live. My dead bodies shall arise. Awake and sing, you that dwell in the dust, for your dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast forth the dead. Come, my people, enter into your chambers and shut your doors about you. Hide yourself for a little moment until the indignation is past. For behold, Yahweh comes forth out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their sin, for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. So we're going to be hidden, brethren. The judgment of Yahweh will soon be upon this earth, but the end is not today, brethren. Have faith in Yahweh as we, the Eliyah of the last days, proclaim the coming of our master Yahshua, who will soon appear after the tribulation of 3.5 years on the earth. Prepare your lives by being a righteous people, keeping all the covenant, thereby receiving the high calling. Come up here. May Almighty Yahweh comfort you and bless you with these words. At this time, I'd like to ask if Brother Willie McKelvey would close with a word of prayer.
All about. Father Yahweh, we pause on the Sabbath day to give you thanks and praise for all things. We give you thanks, Father, for the scripture, that we know what's scripture and what's not, Father. That we know the end is not yet, Father. But we give you thanks, Father, that your Holy Spirit will guide and lead, will lead us, Father, to be patient, to look to you for all things. We ask, Father, that you bless your people wherever they are gathered, that you keep us united. Keep us mindful of your covenant and make sure, Father, that we all continue to look to you for understanding and guidance. We ask you to bless your people all over the world, Father. Bless the ones on the prayer list, that you will heal their bodies, their minds, their financial, all that they need, Father. We know that you are able, and we give you thanks and praise in your Son's name, Yahshua, for all things. Hallelujah.